Good evening. Thank you for joining us for this Wednesday night virtual service. I hope you're having a good week and things are going well for you. And again, thank you for joining us online. We have been going through a four-part series called What Happened When I Got Saved. And for those of you that maybe didn't see the last two messages the past 2 weeks, let me just say that that title can be a little bit deceiving. This is not about my own personal testimony or what actually took place when I accepted Jesus as Savior, but this is a look at four things that takes place in a person's life when they trust Jesus as Savior. The Bible talks about a whole list of things that transpires at that exact moment of salvation. But we're in our third of four lessons on what happened when I got saved. And so tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Of course, we know this is Paul's letter to the church in the city of Ephesus. A very interesting letter and a very important passage here in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let's pray together. God, we again thank you for the Bible, your written word, and God, we just pray that as we open your word tonight and look at this passage, lead us and teach us under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Give me the words to say. Thank you for each and every person watching online, Lord. Bless them, meet their needs, speak to their hearts tonight as we go through this lesson together. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. There is a very popular advertising strategy used by advertisers and people in the marketing industry. It's the strategy of the before and after pictures. This strategy is probably most often used in selling diet products. The before picture is always the worst, certainly the least complimentary, and the after picture is the exact opposite. The after picture shows the person at their very best. The after version is the new and improved version. The goal, of course, is to get you to spend your money on the product with the belief that you can buy that improvement that you see when you compare the before and after pictures. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul uses a similar tactic or strategy. Paul presents two pictures for us here in Ephesians chapter 2. One before in verse 1 through 3, and then the after in verses 4 through 7. The picture before is what Paul says about a lost person before they're saved. And of course, the after is the result of their salvation. You may remember that 2 weeks ago, we learned and saw where the Bible says that a lost person is condemned to die and spend eternity in hell. Last week, we learned that a person in their lost condition is actually an enemy of God. But after a person asks Jesus into their heart, they're given eternal life in heaven. When a person gets saved, they're no longer an enemy of God, but reconciled back to God. That's the after. And here in this passage, we learn the before picture also includes that a lost person is spiritually dead. Physically alive, yes, but spiritually dead. That's a very bad before picture to think about. So tonight, let's look at the after picture that Paul presents here in a person's life. The title of tonight's lesson, Before and After. Notice three things here in this passage. First of all, notice the divine intervention. The divine intervention. Look at verse 4 and the first part of verse 5. He says here, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Notice here at the beginning of verse 4, two words, but God. Two words, only six letters, but very important and very powerful words. In these two words, at the beginning of verse 4, is the difference between lost and saved, the difference between life and death, the difference between heaven and hell, and yes, the difference here between spiritually dead and spiritually alive, which is what Paul addresses here in this passage. But these two words here tell us specifically where salvation comes from, where it originates. You see here, he's proceeding to tell us what happens in a person's life when they're saved. But notice it says, but God. There's no list of other religions. There's no amount of money. There's not a blank here for us to insert our own name. It says, but God, because this salvation, this change in a person's life comes from the person of God. Jonah 2:9 says, salvation is of the Lord. So let's focus on this lost condition, the before picture, if you will. We were dead before we accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. Not physically dead, of course, as we mentioned a moment ago, but spiritually dead. And so what does that mean? Let's expand on that and let's learn what it means to be spiritually dead. First of all, we need to understand that we're born into this world with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Our physical body is basically our earth suit. It is an outer shell that God gives us to live in, if you will, and enjoy during our time in this life on this earth. Our soul is our personality, basically. Our soul is what makes us who we are. Our earth suit, our body, is the covering, our shell, that contains our soul. And then our spirit is how we connect with God. We're a body, just a physical earth suit, outer shell. We have a soul, which is basically makes up all that we are. Our personality makes up who we are as a person, but we also have a spirit, and that is how we connect with God. Remember, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and we are born spiritually dead. At our house, our home, our TV cable or our TV service is Comcast cable. And just this last week, our television quit working. You could turn it on, we had power, and we could turn it on, but there was no sound and no picture. So I called Comcast, and the service technician came out to the house, checked everything out, and he said that the cable from the power pole, the TV cable from the power pole to our house was bad, and that cable needed to be replaced. So he put a new cable, again, from where the cable goes into the house to the power pole, and once he installed that new cable, then again, the sound and the picture was restored to our TV. You see, that bad cable is like being spiritually dead. When we're lost and spiritually dead, there is no connection to God. We're physically alive. In other words, like my TV, there is power. It will come on, but we're spiritually dead and there's no ability to connect with God. Once that cable, bad cable, was replaced, then I had a sound and picture. Once we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, at that moment, we're made spiritually alive. We're able to connect with God, if you will. You see, the Bible says that Adam walked and talked with God before he committed that first sin. He had an intimate relationship with God. But when he committed that first sin, his cable went out. No connection. He was removed from the Garden of Eden, didn't have that personal relationship with God anymore. And we inherited from Adam that spiritually dead condition. It says here that specifically that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Before accepting Jesus, we are born with a sin nature. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. Nothing could make us alive except salvation by accepting Jesus as Savior. But it says here, with that said, we notice it says, but God. He says, the before, we're spiritually dead. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he has loved us, has made us alive. Has made us alive. Spiritually alive. We then are able to have that relationship with God. We're able to talk with God. We're able to spend time in prayer with God. We're able to communicate with God. Us talking to him and him speaking to us. And it's all because of what he did. His intervention. Nothing to do with anything that you and I could have done. When we were saved, we were born again. That's where that phrase born again comes from. Spiritually dead before Jesus. Born again or made spiritually alive after Jesus. So we see here, not only number one, the divine intervention. Number two, let's talk about the divine identification. The divine identification, look at the second part or the remainder of verse 5 and also verse 6. It says, let me lead into it with verse 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, verse 5, Even when we were dead in trespasses, notice this, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up together, raised us, speaking about us with Jesus, raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only has God intervened in our lives and made us spiritually alive, he also identifies us with his son, Jesus. Listen, a person is saved, born again, by accepting Jesus as Savior, by faith, by asking Jesus into their heart. But notice it says here that we are made alive with Christ. God no longer seeing our unrighteousness, the unrighteousness of our own sin, but in us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. At that moment of salvation, we are joined together with Jesus. His death becomes our death. His life becomes our life. That's the basis for believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is simply a symbol of the fact that we as believers, buried with Christ, buried with Christ, and also raised in newness of life. I saw a bumper sticker the other day on the back windshield of a car. It simply said, "My identity is in my ink." My identity is in my ink. And the bumper sticker was basically an advertisement for a tattoo parlor. And that bumper sticker was referenced to someone's tattoos. My identity is in my ink. In other words, my identity is in my tattoos, the bumper sticker said. Listen, as Christians, we can be sure of our identity. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Paul says here, we were made alive, yes, but that's not the end. We were made alive, praise God, with Jesus. So we see here, not only, number one, the divine intervention. Number two, we see divine identification. And number three, notice something interesting here, the divine intentions. Look at verse 7. Notice it says, verse 6, paraphrasing, it says, raised up together and made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now notice verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, we certainly are all aware of the many blessings and the many benefits that comes from being a Christian. The blessings and benefits that we enjoy in this life, on this earth. But here in verse 7, the end is in view. One day, this world as we know it will be over, and all of God's saved saints will be with him for eternity. Notice it says here, in the ages to come, when this world as we know it is ended, when God and his people are together in heaven for eternity, we are there as a demonstration of the abundance of God's grace and mercy. You and I, as believers, will be on display, will be in heaven with God to demonstrate his goodness, his grace and mercy. It has been said that life is a game And true love is a trophy. We were born into this world lost, on our way to hell, spiritually dead. That's the before. But when we accepted Jesus as Savior, born again, made alive in Christ Jesus, with the promise of a home in heaven. And it says here that in the ages to come, think about that. We have that to look forward to. When we are with God in eternity, we will be like trophies. We will be like, as this quote says, we will be a trophy, if you will, a demonstration of the true love of God. And the fact that he demonstrated that love by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We were born into this world spiritually dead. That's the before. But we've been made alive with Christ, born again. Praise God for the after. Let's pray together. God, we are so thankful for all the blessings and benefits that come from being a child of God. We're so thankful for all the things that takes place in our life at that moment of salvation. God, thank you that for the fact that we were born into this world spiritually dead, no connection with you, no intimate fellowship with you, but at that moment of salvation, we were born again, made alive in Christ. God, help us to live in a way that exemplifies the fact that we're spiritually alive, that we're one of your own, that we are in Christ. Let us live in such a way that it's obvious that our identity is in Jesus and not in anything else. Help us to live in a way that demonstrates that we are born again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.